Hey everyone, welcome to Mosaic House Online Worship. Before we dive into our lesson today, I just want to remind you, may the Lord Christ Himself remind you, hey, you are worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ on this online platform. However, what Jesus wants for you and for me is to live out this value of community, to belong with Jesus, and therefore, the Lord encourages you to find a church home near you. Let this online platform, as it's a gift, it's a blessing, we appreciate it, but you need the tangible body of Christ in a local church. So find one. Hence, thus saith the Lord. Now, if you deem Mosaic House Church is your home church, if you believe that God is calling you to belong with Mosaic House Church, then connect with us. You got to do more than just a subscriber or simply a viewer. You got to become a member of the body of Christ. So connect with us, respond to the chat, and let us know who you are. All right? So let's begin. You see the theme and the backdrop, Meals with Jesus. That's the new series. We're going to go through the Gospel according to Luke. Luke, who was a physician and a journalist, he took this account of Jesus' life, his death, his resurrection, and then he put all that into a document, a historical document. And in the Gospel of Luke, perhaps more than other Gospel writers, more than Matthew, more than John, more than Mark, Luke really, really, really spends a lot of time depicting about Jesus Christ either going to a meal or eating at a meal or leaving from a meal. And I call this the theology of table fellowship. There's so much in this metaphor, table fellowship. So hence, meals with Jesus. So shall we dive in? Let me start by sharing a story with you. When I was a poor student at seminary, this is at Calvin Seminary in Michigan. The seminary was hosting a preaching conference, a big one at that. And we invited, at the time, a world-renowned pastor. If I say the name, many of you might recognize the name. I was asked to go to the airport, pick him up and his staff, and bring them to a billionaire. At the time, this person was the wealthiest man in Michigan. Again, I'm not going to say the name because you would recognize him. He was, at that time, top 50 richest man in the U.S. So I picked up this world-renowned pastor from the airport, and I drove him and his staff in my, not limousine, it was a minivan. And I pulled up to the gate of the world-renowned billionaire. And it felt like when I drove from the gateway to the front door, it felt like we must have driven 5 minutes. This was a mansion. This was a mansion. Now, my job was to bring them to the billionaire. And then after their dinner was done, I was to bring the world-renowned pastor to his hotel. I think this pastor felt pity on me. He said, Victor, why don't you come in? Join us. I said, okay, better than just staying in the van. So we walked into this mansion. I got to tell you, I've never been inside a home like this. There was an indoor swimming pool. There was an elevator. And in the kitchen, there was a pizza oven, wood-burning pizza oven. And they're having a party. Champagne was served, pizza was served, and other fancy stuff. And I remember sitting in the corner with my slice of pizza and a champagne glass, thinking to myself, Victor, you don't belong here, do you? No, I don't. I don't belong here. Second thought, enjoy every moment, because you will never be invited to such a home. Okay, now, why am I saying this? I'm saying this because Jesus Christ, in the Gospel according to Luke, he uses this metaphor, meals or dinners or parties, banquet, to describe something that's heavenly, something of heaven, something of God, the transcendent. So being with Jesus Christ, or being saved, or going to heaven, whatever you want to call it, the ultimate reality, it's like going to a banquet hosted by Jesus Christ. It's like going to meals with Jesus. So may I take you to the text? This is Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 27. Hear the word of the Lord. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and other sinners were eating with him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who belonged to their sect, complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please use these the sermon outline as you follow along. The theme and the goal of this message is this. When Jesus Christ invites you to his party, you invite your friends to his party. Jesus Christ is the host of all hosts. His banquet is better, more extravagant, more lavish than the one that I went to at the home of the billionaires. Jesus Christ throws the best, most extravagant, most lavishing parties there is, and he invites you. Take a moment. The host of all hosts invites you, and you go. And when you go, you don't go by yourself. You invite your friends to his party as well. The theme and the goal. Now, I want to talk to you about three questions, okay? Who is on the invitation list? Number one. Number two, who declines the invitation? And number three, lastly, how much was the dinner? Ready? Who was on the invitation list? Who declines to come? Who refused the invitation? And thirdly, how much was the dinner? First, who is on the invitation list? So this was a surprise. Nope, not only a surprise, this was a shock. This was the unexpected. Nobody saw this coming. Let me take you to verse 27. Jesus went out and saw a tax collector, and Luke gives us the name of the tax collector. His name is Levi, sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. Friends, this is a metaphor, okay? Levi, the tax collector, throws a large banquet for Jesus. But really, theologically speaking, it's Jesus who's the host. And it's because of the invitation that Jesus extends to Levi. Christ says, "Follow me." Okay, now, I need to explain to you why this was such a shock, an unexpected invitation by Jesus to Levi. Something about tax collectors. 2,000 years ago in Israel was under the occupation of the Romans, I should say. Okay. Now, the tax collectors had three strikes against them. Number one, they were traitors. Number two, they were extortionists. And number three, they were greedy sinners. Now, okay, here, number one, traitors. The Romans were the captors, and the tax collectors, can you imagine? They sided. They jumped the ship. They're playing on the wrong team. They were serving the Romans as the tax collectors. Okay? Strike number one. Jews despise the tax collectors, therefore. Strike number two. They were extortionists. They became really, really wealthy by taxing their fellow countrymen, Jews, more than they needed to. For example, Rome required that you pay a $1,000 tax annually. Levi, the tax collector, would say, hey, you owe Rome $1,200. And Levi would send $1,000 to Rome, and he'll keep the rest, $200, in his pocket. And thereby, he became wealthy on the backs of his countrymen. Strike number three. The Jews believed that they were under God's curse, and that's why the Roman occupation. They were under God's curse because of the sinners like the tax collectors, people who did not follow God, people who did not obey God, people who were not adhering to the laws and the commands of the Bible. Because of them, God handed them over to the Romans. So strike three. The tax collectors were so hated, so despised, so much so that their testimonies were not admissible in the court of law. No one trusted their testimonies. If you wanted to call someone a bad name 2,000 years ago, tax collector, that was one of the worst things. And that's why Luke wants you to know, time after time, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they keep saying, why does Jesus eat with the tax collectors and the prostitutes and all the sinners? Being a tax collector was a bad, bad occupation. And it is to this tax collector, Levi, Jesus says, follow me. Come with me. Come to my banquet. I'm inviting you. I'm commanding you. Come to my party. A shock indeed. Surprise indeed. And furthermore, to add to this suspense and plot, Jesus was known as a rabbi. Rabbi is like a teacher of the Bible, a godly man, someone like a prophet, right? Really holy, love the Lord. And if you wanted to follow a rabbi, it is you, the disciples wannabes, they come to a rabbi and they bring their resume. They bring their worthiness. They might say, Rabbi, please let me follow you because I memorized the first five books of the Bible. Oh, Rabbi, please let me follow you. Not those guys. Pick me, because I serve God better than these guys. I obey God better than these guys. I know more about the Bible than these guys. Choose me. It was always the disciple who wannabes showing the credentials and the resumes to the rabbi saying, hey, pick me. But here, it's Jesus, the rabbi himself, saying to not even a disciple wannabe, someone who was so underqualified, disqualified to a tax collector, you follow me. That's the shock, and that's the surprise, the invitation to the dinner with Jesus. Come and join me at my banquet. Before we move on, let me just seal the deal. If Jesus would say to you, follow me, come to my dinner, how would you feel? Would you feel like Levi? I am not worthy. Why are you choosing me? Why are you inviting me? What have I done to deserve this grace? Do you feel like Levi? Or would you feel like maybe the Pharisees? We'll get to them. Would you feel like, oh, ho-hum, of course I expected that. Of course Jesus would invite people like me. Is that you? Before we go on, I just want you to know, you know you are a follower of Christ. I don't want to use the word Christian because that word doesn't mean anything nowadays. You know what I mean? The label, the identity Christian, doesn't mean anything anymore. So I prefer the terminology follower of Christ. Are you a follower of Christ? And if you are, you would identify yourself with Levi. Who, me? Are you talking to me, Jesus? Are you sure you got the right address? I received this invitation in the mail addressed to me that I am to go to your banquet and have a meal with you. Oh my goodness. Let's go on. So, second question. Who declines the invitation? Let's go to verse 30 and 32. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who belong to their sect, complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." You know what they're saying? So, Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who belong to their sect. Now, they get a bad rep, but let me tell you something that they did well. What they did well was they were very religious. They were very moral. They were adhering to the commands of the Bible. They obeyed God according to the precepts of the Bible. They did everything right. They went to the synagogue. They went to the temple. They offered sacrifices. They gave alms. They tithed. They gave 10% of their income to God. And they served. They memorized the Bible. They did all the right things. But the problem was this. Because of their religious deeds, they felt like God would accept them and that God would bless them based on their religious acts. This was a big problem. And you're saying, what's the problem? What is wrong with that? Listen. The difference between religion and grace is this. Religion is, like I said, when you obey God, when you adhere to all these religious deeds and acts, when you perform these pious lifestyle acts and deeds, you feel like God owes you. Of course, I am doing all these right things, and therefore God would, should, must accept me and bless me. That is based on performance. What that does is two things. You become proud before God. Like I said, you feel like God owes you. If things go wrong, you say, God, what is the point of serving you when these bad things happen to me? You owe me. I deserve better things, right? The second toxicity is this. You compare yourself to other people. And you say, well, I'm not perfect, but compared to Victor Koh over there, I am far better. I am more pious. I am more religious. And therefore, between Victor and me, of course God is going to accept me and bless me, but not him. The problem with that is we fail to measure our godliness or righteousness with that of God's standard. Instead, we compare ourselves with people who are way out there, like the tax collectors. And that's why the Pharisees and the teachers of law, they complained to Jesus' disciples, why are you and your rabbi, Jesus, eating with the tax collectors and sinners? You should be with people like us, who are better, not like them tax collectors, not like them prostitutes, not like them crackheads, not like them those, etc. And Jesus' response is so, so subversive and so compelling. He says, the healthy don't need a doctor, it's the sick. I have not come to call the righteous to repentance, but the sinners to repentance. Now, here's what Jesus is saying. Everyone is sick. Everyone needs a doctor. But who goes to the doctor? Only those who admit that they're sick. You see? Jesus is saying, everyone needs a savior. Everyone. Every one of you. The tax collectors, the prostitutes, and the Pharisees, and the teachers of the law. Everyone needs a savior. But only those who are sinners, only who recognize, who admit that they need a savior, they will call upon the savior. But those who are righteous by their own deeds and performance, they're not called upon a savior. They will say, I don't need a savior. I don't need a savior. So friends, are you suffering from Phariseeism? Are you like the Pharisees? How do you know? There are two forms of Phariseeism. Number one, check this out. Number one, you feel God should accept and bless you because of your religious performance. Or number two, another form is, you feel God would never accept you and never bless you because of your lack of religious performance. Either way, you are relying on your religious deeds. I wonder if you identify yourself with the second form of Phariseeism. You might feel God would never, had he known what I've done, had he known what I have not done, he would never accept and bless me. See, friends, you are still relying on your performance, just like the first form. And Christ is saying, don't decline my invitation. Receive my invitation. Heed to my calling. Admit that you are sick. Admit that you are a sinner, so that you may receive my grace. So third, how much was the dinner? How much was the dinner? Let me take you to verse 28. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Levi, as a tax collector, he was a very, very, very rich man. He became rich and wealthy by being an extortionist, right? By becoming a traitor to against their his own people. Now, here's my question. Why would anyone want to become a tax collector? Knowing that once you become one, you'll be despised by everyone. And once you become a tax collector, you lose all your friends and you'll be ostracized and in isolation. Why would anyone want to become a tax collector knowing all that? I have a clue. Levi is better known as Matthew. Some commentators say Jesus had given him a new name. You will be called Matthew. Okay? Matthew means gift of God. That's the meaning of the word Matthew. Levi, his Jewish name, in all likelihood, many commentators say, he was a Levite, meaning he was of the genealogy of priesthood. He was a priest. And of the 12 tribes of Israel, they all received land inheritance from the Lord in the promised land, except for one tribe. You know who that tribe was? That's right, the Levites, the priests. And the Lord said, Levites, you do not receive any land because I am your inheritance for you. You put your trust in me and you serve me in the temple. Perhaps Levi thought that was not good enough. Perhaps Levi didn't feel secure putting his trust in the Lord for his future security. Maybe he felt, I gotta take care of myself. I gotta take care of myself. And hence, he took the risk. He became a tax collector for his future security. And yet, when Jesus called him, what did Levi do? The Bible says, Luke accounts, he left everything and followed Jesus. He got up, leaving behind the ledgers, leaving behind the money, and leaving behind the tax booth. And by the way, that tax booth, or the ledgers money, that represented who Levi was. His security lied in that imagery of tax booth. And he left behind because he was never satisfied. He never felt secure in his own security. And when Jesus called, he said, I'm coming, Lord. I'm following you. So how much was the dinner? Grace is, as the slide says, unmerited grace, unmerited gift of God to you. Meaning, grace is something that you can't work for. And even if you tried, you would never obtain it. It is a gift. Only God can do this for you in the person of Christ. Christ is your holiness. Christ is your righteousness. Christ died on the cross and he rose from the empty tomb. And that's how much it cost for him to offer that dinner to you. It cost him his life. It cost Jesus everything. And yet, it is an unmerited favor to you. It's a gift. It doesn't cost you anything. Nonetheless, when you receive the grace of Christ, when the grace floods you, and then when the grace surprises you, and then when the grace transforms you, you respond to the grace. How? Just like what Levi did. He got up, left everything, and followed Jesus. When you follow Jesus, because of His grace, it should cost you everything. Jesus becomes your top priority, because He's the one who gives you your identity. He's the one who gives you security, and He's the one who gives you your destiny. So one application. Since you believe that you have received the grace of Christ, then it's got to manifest itself in your finances. Levi left everything, all his money, and followed Jesus. One way that you know you're responding to His grace is by how much you trust Him with the money in your possession. By the way, it's not your money, it's His money, but He wants you to trust Him by giving it back to Him. We call it tithe, 10% of your income. Are you a joyful giver? Can you really say the grace of Christ has transformed me in terms of my money and finances? Friends, let me conclude with the following three applications. Number one, will you say yes to Jesus' dinner invitation? Let me speak specifically to my seeker friends. Jesus is calling you exactly the same way He called Levi. You are not worthy. You are not acceptable. You don't have the right wear to the dinner party. And yet Christ says, I have prepared everything for you. Come. You simply have to come. Say yes to Him and come. Second application. Will you leave behind everything to follow Jesus? Will you leave behind everything? Will you count the cost and follow Jesus? Will you show to yourself and to God and to yourself that you are indeed transformed by the grace of Christ by leaving behind everything, trusting Jesus, serving Jesus, joining Him on His mission? So, third application, number three. Will you invite your friends to Jesus' dinner? What was the first thing that Matthew did, Levi did? He invites his tax collector friends and all the sinners of the town. Here's how you know that you are transformed in the grace of Christ. You are passionate for your tax collector friends. You are passionate for your prostitute friends. You are passionate for your Pharisees' friends. So what do? You have them in your house. Jesus is there, and you invite your friends to your place for a party. As simple as in your backyard barbecue dinner. Hot dogs and hamburgers. We have been saying at Mosaic House Church, hey, do not try to convert people. Try to bless them. B-L-E-S-S. It's an acronym. B stands for begin with prayer. L stands for listen. E stands for eat. And S stands for serve, meet their needs. And the second S, share Jesus' story. In the middle of the five-letter word is the letter E, to eat. Eating is central to blessing. So here is an application. In the month of July, invite someone to your home, or simply take them out for coffee. It doesn't have to be a full blown-out dinner. It can be as simple, as humble, as a cup of tea at Tim Hortons. Say, hey, I want to take you out for a cup of tea, a cup of coffee. Would you join me? And as you engage in these dinners with Jesus, with your friends, may the Holy Spirit do the rest. So back to my story, the mansion, the billionaire's home. You know, I certainly didn't fit the picture there, right? Very poor, ordinary seminarian student. I don't hang out with the billionaires, the world-renowned pastors of the world. No. And yet, I don't miss that kind of invitations. You know why? Because I got a better invitation. I am invited to the mansion of the universe. I am invited by the host of all hosts. I am invited to the heavenly banquet, all simply because of Jesus' grace. I feel confident, I feel humbled by that, and that grace is transforming me today. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I pray for everyone in this platform. Thank you for this gift. I pray that your grace came through today. I pray somebody receive the invitation by Jesus Christ. And I pray that somebody said yes. And now help us to work out our salvation in fear and trembling by engaging in on your mission. Help us to be hospitable. Help us to be generous with our money. It's not ours, it's yours. Help us to be better stewards, therefore. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.